Please remain standing if you are able, and let's turn once again to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 13. Let's hear together God's holy word from Hebrews 6. We'll begin, let's begin at verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Well, we just come to this account of Abraham in our evening service, looking through Genesis. We've just come to the Abraham passages. Abraham is a very significant figure, of course, in the Old Testament and in world history. He lived about 4,000 years ago. His story is a very important part of the Old Testament and of God's unfolding plan of redemption. God established his covenant with Abraham, and he made great promises to him. You recall, he called Abraham out of his life as a moon-worshipping idolater in Ur of the Chaldees. He called him out of that darkness, that spiritual death. He called him to life. He called him to walk by faith in his word, in God's word. Abraham's experience and our salvation are closely linked as well. He's called our father in the faith. We're called sons of Abraham if we have faith in Jesus Christ. Our experience parallels his, our experience and our faith. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And we too believe God. We believe in his Son, whom he sent to save us. And it is credited to us as righteousness. This is the one way of salvation throughout history: faith in God and his word. Galatians 3:29 tells us, if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. So Abraham's example is a very important one. It's important for us. And the writer to the Hebrews turns to that example here in our passage today, turns to Abraham, and he does that to encourage our faith and the faith of believers in Christ everywhere in every age. God gave great encouragement to Abraham's faith as well, and Abraham needed that. God provided these encouragements to help Abraham to continue to live by faith in him and to walk by faith in very difficult circumstances, in a very dark place. He needed that encouragement. He needed his faith to be strengthened. Abraham's example in that way can encourage our faith in Christ very much. Our faith certainly needs strengthening. We need that same kind of encouragement that Abraham received from the Lord, as we need to seek to live in a very similar way, by faith. In a very dark world, we live by faith and not by sight. And we live with so many trials and challenges and tests to our faith, and all the encouragement and strengthening of that faith that we can get. Well, what did God's promise to Abraham, or Abram as he was first called, what did it consist of? What did God promise him? Well, he promised him, among other things, a much better homeland and a vast number of descendants, people who would be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. These were pretty incredible promises, considering that Abraham had no children at all. For these promises to come true, for them to be realized, some pretty amazing, miraculous things were going to have to happen. Abraham was going to have at least one child through whom these promises could be fulfilled. He was not only childless, but too old to have children, and so was his wife. They were way past their childbearing years. So if there ever was a person whose faith in God needed to be strengthened, needed to be encouraged, it was Abraham in these circumstances. These promises God made were humanly impossible. It would take miraculous intervention, supernatural action on God's part to see these promises fulfilled. Now, Abraham tried to go about it another way. He tried to make matters happen on his own, in natural ways. He wanted his servant to serve as his heir. He figured, I can't have children, so let my servant be heir, O Lord. The Lord said, no, you shall have a son. So then Abraham took matters into his own hands again, and he did have a son with his wife's maidservant, and she was complicit in that arrangement as well, Sarah was. But this was not to be. This was not what God had planned. God said, no, neither your servant nor this other child will be heir. You're going to have a son with Sarah from her barren womb. So, no wonder this man needed encouragement and strengthening for his faith. These were just utterly impossible things that God had promised. But nothing is impossible with God. And these verses in our passage today here in Hebrews 6 refer to probably the greatest encouragement that God gave to Abraham, the strongest encouragement and strengthening of his faith that he ever received. And they come after Isaac was already born. Isaac was well grown up. He was a young man at this point. But Abraham's faith still needed encouragement, still needed strengthening even then. Look at verses 13 to 15 of Hebrews 6. We read, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Now, this quote is looking back to that event we read of earlier in Genesis 22, where God had commanded Abraham to offer up this very same son, Isaac, the child of the promise. God called him to offer him up as a burnt offering. I don't have to tell you, that was a massive test of Abraham's faith, because as far as Abraham understood it, and he understood it rightly, those promises that God had made had to come to fruition, had to come to fulfillment through this child, Isaac. And God had just called him to kill him as an expression of his trust in God. Show me your faith, Abraham. Slay your son for me. Abraham had no clue how this was going to work. How was God going to make this work out? He didn't know how. He didn't know why. He just trusted God wholeheartedly. God had said all those promises would come to pass, and they would come to pass through Isaac. And so without fully understanding, without having all the answers, being really quite in the dark, not knowing why and how, Abraham just obeyed God. He trusted and obeyed. He made the preparations to go and carry this out and slay his son. We read the story. At the moment of truth, when Abraham was about to do it, he was about to plunge the knife into the body of his son, the angel of the Lord called out and stopped him, called out from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So God made a way that Abraham hadn't foreseen. Abraham just obeyed God's word, trusted what he said, obeyed what he called him to do, and God made a way. He intervened. He provided this substitute offering. Now that event, God providing that ram, God intervening and stopping Abraham from doing that, killing his son, God saving Isaac's life, that alone must have been a huge encouragement to Abraham's faith. But God didn't stop there. He had more encouragement for Abraham. He restated his promise to Abraham, and not only that, he said, "By myself I have sworn, because you have done this and not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you." And then he just goes on to restate the promises that he had stated before, fleshing them out further, beautifully, but really just restating them, and yet he heightened it by taking this solemn oath. And our passage, Hebrews 6, verse 14, is looking back to this great chapter in Genesis. At the point the writer of Hebrews is making here is that God's word, just as it was for Abraham in that instance when he called him to go slay his own son, God's word is totally trustworthy. He had given his word to Abraham. He had promised that he'd bring those promises to fruition through Isaac, and he backed up his promise. He kept his promise. In the same way here, God is strengthening his promise with this oath. He swore an oath by himself because, as the writer says, there's no one greater that God could swear by. In human matters, humans will swear by God, someone greater than themselves. There's no one greater for God to swear by. So God swore by himself. He put his own character on the line, his own integrity, his reputation, when he made these promises and when he further strengthened it with this oath. His reputation was at stake. And it's really the same with all of God's word. Every bit of it, every bit of his written word, he stakes his reputation on the line. He will always keep his word when he speaks. So for the believer in Christ, that means that whatever the supposed obstacles are that we face in this life, whatever the reasons are that you might think that you have to doubt God or to let go of faith in him, there really is no possibility that he will fail to keep his word. What he has spoken, he will bring to pass. We see that in Abraham's case. Abraham had plenty of time during his earthly life, and he had plenty of reasons, surely, that came into his mind that could have led him to doubt God, and his faith did waver at times. Yet God was faithful. He kept his word. And in that instance on Mount Moriah, he kept it by sparing Isaac, and the promise was still being fulfilled. He could have allowed Abraham to slay Isaac. He could have raised him from the dead if he had been slain. Abraham seems to have believed that, and he was ready to go through with it because of that. But God didn't require that of him. He intervened, and he upheld his promise. Well, this should be real encouragement to us for our faith in Christ. We may grow weary of trusting God, just like Abraham must have over all those many years, waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. We too have to wait. This is a life of waiting for us as believers. We may grow weary of waiting and trusting God without seeing what we're looking for. We've got a lot of trusting, a lot of waiting to do in this life as believers. Every day is a new day that we have to wait on the Lord in faith for something, for various things, for lots of things, whether it's an answer to some prayer that you've prayed, you're looking to God for some kind of help, some kind of deliverance from a trial, or whether we're talking about salvation, waiting for the fullness of our salvation. All our lives we're waiting for that. The believer's called to this kind of life, just like Abraham was, a life of waiting, living by faith. And so the writer's encouraging us here by Abraham's example, showing us that God is faithful, entirely worthy of our trust and patience. Not only did he come through for Abraham in that deliverance of his son, but again, further strengthening the promise with that oath that he made. Abraham had to wait his whole life. In that sense, he's a perfect example for us. He had to wait his entire life. It wasn't just waiting for the birth of Isaac. He waited, and he did receive Isaac, but again, Isaac wasn't the whole heart of the promises that God made. He was just the means to those promises being fulfilled, one of the means. And Abraham didn't get to see those other promises fulfilled. Realize that. He waited his whole life. He believed in God for them, but he died waiting for those things. Things like the possession of the promised land. God promised that. He didn't see that. Offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham never saw that. Becoming a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Abraham died without seeing these things realized. He saw them only by faith. He trusted that God would bring them to pass, just as he said. Even in dying, he held on to God's promise to bring these things about. Well, how was he able to do that? How was he able to hang in there in faith and persevere in faith like that? Well, I don't think he would have if God hadn't supplied him so much encouragement for his faith and strengthening of it. God not only gave him these promises, he appeared to him again and again. He reiterated the promises. He reaffirmed them. He fleshed them out further to strengthen Abraham's faith. Remember, the accounts of Abraham start in Genesis 12. That's when he first received that promise from God. God said to him, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And then time passes, lots of time. And Abraham had to persevere and believe that promise. And then finally, after time had passed, God appeared to him again. In Genesis 15, we have the account. And he reiterates the promise. And he gives more assurance to Abraham. And later, still after more time passes, God reaffirms his promise again to Abraham in Genesis 17. So it's just this further and further assuring of Abraham. God saying to him, I will keep my word to you. And of course, in Genesis 7, he has the sign of circumcision, which further strengthened the promise and confirmed it in a tangible way. And then he also changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. That too is another encouragement, a strengthening of his faith. His name, Abram, meant exalted father. Abraham, though, means father of many. So here's another way that God was confirming his promises to him. You're going to be the father of many nations. So you see how God just kept on doing this. He kept on encouraging Abraham, kept on giving him more and more strengthening for his faith, more and more assurance, reassuring him, because God wanted Abraham to persevere by faith in him to the end. But again, the strongest encouragement comes in this event, in Genesis 22. And that's what the writer's pointing us to. He wants us to take note of that. God swore this oath by himself. This is a way that God could strengthen his promise as much as possible. There's no way to get it any stronger. There's no way to state it any more firmly and surely than this oath. The writer of Hebrews says, for people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. He's kind of going back and forth there between what happened with Abraham and how it applies to us as believers in Christ. But think about this oath. God takes this oath. God didn't have to take an oath. He didn't need to take this oath at all. His simple word is good. It's infallible. His promise was already rock solid. Taking this oath didn't make it any more sure. So why did he do it? He did it for Abraham. He did it to strengthen Abraham's weak faith. out of consideration for the frailty of this man and his faith. God was being very kind and merciful here. He's doing everything he can for this poor, weak sinner, Abraham. Again, his word, God's word, is rock solid, but Abraham's faith was not rock solid. His faith needed to be strengthened over and over again. And so God went as far as he could to reassure Abraham. He ramped it all the way up. Can't get any higher than this. Can't get any stronger than this. He swore this solemn oath by himself. God swore by himself. NIV translates one of our verses this way. It says, God did this to put an end to all argument. In other words, he wanted to guarantee his promise with the ultimate assurance to Abraham. And so now Abraham's faith had these two things to hold on to, two unchangeable things, to use the language of the passage: God's promise and then God's oath to guarantee his promise. Isn't that good to see how God is so concerned here for the faith of his child? God was so good and merciful and gentle here and helpful to Abraham, condescending like this to build up this man's weak faith. He wanted Abraham to never have to fall into unbelief again. And then we ask ourselves, why? Why is the writer of Hebrews bringing this up to us? Why is he bringing all this to our attention? God's promise, God's oath. Remember what the writer of Hebrews is doing here. He's writing to these early Christians who are suffering for their faith, who are being tempted to give up the faith. He's writing to them and urging them to press on and to persevere and to not let go of their faith in Jesus. They were being tempted so hard to fall away, to turn away from Christ, and some had. Some professing believers had gone back to unbelieving Judaism. But the writer's calling them to persevere in faith. He's calling them to imitate Abraham, who persevered in faith to the end. And Abraham didn't have a bulletproof faith either, and yet God strengthened it again and again, so kindly. Abraham also had many obstacles, many reasons, many temptations to doubt God, just as we do as believers in Christ. We're beset by all kinds of things like that in this world. We've got enemies, we've got the world, the flesh, the devil, all kinds of faith-eroding trials that come to us in this life. And we're no stronger than Abraham. We're no better. We're weak, just like him. And our faith is weak. And so we also need God to give us strong encouragement and assurance for our faith. Otherwise, we would never persevere to the end. And that's the writer's point here. He's saying in verse 18, we who have fled for refuge to Jesus Christ by faith, we have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. The Lord has stooped down to us to give us the very greatest assurance of all, assurance of his love, assurance of his saving grace toward us, to strengthen our faith. And it's not just the written promises of God that we have to hold on to. We have the fulfillment of his promises to rest in and to rejoice in. We have the whole of the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments. We have the promises of the Old Covenant. We have the fulfillment in the New Covenant. We see that our Savior himself has come now. He is the sum and substance of everything that God promised to Abraham. And he kept his promise. He kept his oath by sending Jesus into the world and by seeing to it that Jesus did everything necessary to save us, living for us, dying for us, obeying for us, and suffering in our place as our substitute. And now he continues to be for us. He is our great high priest, forever interceding for us in heaven. We have that gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. We have that strong encouragement and comfort as an anchor for our souls. And what more could we need? God has given us all that we need to persevere in faith in his word. He's given us all of his word, Old Testament, and the New Testament, and he's given his Spirit to write his word upon our hearts, to create faith in our hearts and to sustain it. And he's given us more than that. He's given us the church, the community of faith, a family of faith, of like-minded believers who are in this together, seeking to keep the faith to the end and to help each other in that. God has stooped down and he has given us so much help for the strengthening of our faith in even greater ways than he helped Abraham. But his concern is still the same, and that's what we see here in this passage. His heart for us. He wants you to persevere in faith in him, trusting in him all your days, trusting in his Son for your full salvation. And he wants you to not give up. Now, you may stumble and falter at times. Your faith is going to be weak at times. But keep pressing on. Keep strengthening your faith by reading and hearing the Scriptures. Keep your eyes especially on that strong encouragement of the gospel and what Jesus has done for you. As you do that, your assurance will grow. It will be strengthened more and more. Your faith will be built up. And you will be enabled to persevere to the end. And then you will receive the fullness of the promise. Eternal life with God in glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Father, strengthen our weak faith in you and in your Son. We need that encouragement of the Scriptures. We need that more sure word to be set before our eyes and to be driven into our hearts by your Spirit. Build us up, Lord, by your holy word, day by day, and Lord's Day by Lord's Day, in the fellowship of the saints. Strengthen our faith now through your word and even through the sacrament of the supper as we partake of it together. This too is an act of faith. We pray that you'd fix our eyes on Jesus as we partake and feed us with him by faith. It's in his name we pray. Amen.